Work to Game presents Anthem Free Radio, coming at you live and on YouTube with your hosts Brian, Chemistro, and Nightmare Demon. Adventure with us as we learn more about the world of Anthem.
Welcome to Anthem 3 Radio, Episode 3. My name is Brian. Joining me this week is Chemistral.
Hello.
And Nightmare Demon.
Yo.
So we've got about 16 weeks until the release of Anthem. And this last week, the Anthem, the BioWare team was out at Paris Games Week. They showed us finally, we got to see the Storm hands-on. We got to see some Interceptor action. There's a lot that they really kind of showed us, and there was the AMA, which we were able to get more information. So we've got the AMA news to talk about. We also have just kind of some highlights and notes of what we noticed from the live stream to share with you guys as well. We'd love to know your thoughts in live chat and also in the comments below for this video on YouTube, what you guys are thinking. If you're not aware, Anthem Free Radio is a podcast. We're going about every other week, but this is a rare time in which that it seems like lots of new information is heating up. The big news, the leading bit of news is that today, if you're watching us live or if you're watching us tomorrow on YouTube, that on November 1st at 3 p.m. Central, they're going to be doing more live stream of some Storm and Interceptor gameplay as well. So be aware of that. You can check it out. We'll try to include links in the description below where you can find this information if you're curious about this game. This podcast is an experiment. It's a journey. It's an adventure to see how BioWare versus EA, how this relationship works. Is this going to be a game that launches and is a great games as a service kind of thing? Or is it going to be something that you kind of always feel the dark hand of EA ever present with this relationship? And so we're going on this journey. We invite you with us. Thank you so much for joining us live and then joining us also on YouTube and Google Play. And at some point, I'm going to actually get around to putting us on iTunes as well. So we thank everybody for wherever you're listening to this as well. So we talked about the exciting news with the live stream coming up today. But I'm going to kick it over to Nightmare. He's our newsman. He's the man on the street. He's the guy with all the different bullet points. Nightmare, take us through what are we talking about here? Before my tongue gets twisted and it's just like, all right, let me just kick it over.
Well, hello, folks. We got a good bit of news that came from Paris this week. Confirmed by Mark Darrow on Twitter, the graphic settings that during that stream were mistakenly turned down, so you'll see the graphics are a bit muddy compared to the past streams. Turned down, yeah.
Is this a puddle situation?
Oh, no, not Puddlegate.
No.
Is this Puddlegate 2.0?
This is not a downgrade of any kind as showcased by comparative images to the same mission.
He's got the quick mute on. So not Puddlegate 2.0. Yeah. For me though, it's like when I saw the comparison, I was like, oh my gosh, like live, I didn't notice it at all. Like I was just like, this is great. I was like, the Storm is being played. So I was actually more interested in what was happening than how it looked. Cause I thought it was good looking anyway. But when you see
even
the side by
still
side,
an alpha. Still looks good for an alpha build. Like we still have the beta and the finalized build should be polished. It's going to look phenomenal.
The optimist in me goes, is like, does this mean that we have a lot of graphical settings so that it can run on a wide range of hardware? Because like outside of the console, right? Like I'm playing on an X, and recently Xbox X like has just been in the news because Red Dead Redemption 2 comes out, and it's like PlayStation owners, really got like from a PS4 Pro to the Xbox One X. It's like, wow, there is a huge difference in what these machines are capable of through Red Dead Redemption 2. It's like, that's it. And then I was sitting here going like, the more that they have that scalability and graphics, not only for consoles, but also for PCs. Like, guess what? You can really enjoy this game and it still looks great. And, it's not going to be the best, but if you want the best, you're going to go spend a lot of money for, the best graphics card. So that's really good. I don't know if Nightmare's back, so.
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
cool.
Just letting you continue.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. Go ahead.
On the other note, the cape for the Storm during that stream was bugged, which is why it didn't seem as free flowing as it should have been. It was confirmed by Martin Dara on the Twitchers. Also, the floating damage numbers have been minimized tremendously from the last gameplay footage we saw at E3.
Yeah,
a lot of people noticed that.
A minor fix, but I'm really glad they did that.
Me too. I 100% agree on that. All right, now on to everything new with the within the Twitter feed. In theory, we could solo a world event such as the Ash Titan. So likely we could gear up enough to take one of these things on our own, but it's likely won't be easy.
This tells me that there's no like necessarily complete overall world scaling. You know, it's like I'm just saying that one of the things that it's that excites me is that you can gear up, you can feel powerful, you can, you know, like go that route. That is an RPG element, right? Because it's like difficulty is defined by how much you're willing to grind.
It's like, right?
You go grind out of here.
It's all like, the grinds, man.
Still won't be easy, but at the same time, that's, I don't know. That means
have the potential.
I like that. It does have that potential. We'll have to see how that goes.
Just the fact that it's doable is alone, like for us like to do like challenge runs, it's going to be amazing.
Right. Well, and the question then like leads into what are we going to see in terms of, you know, like in a year, in 2 years, like at some point we're like, there's nothing in this world that's powerful as me. You know, it's like, we're like, what's that scale look like? How, like at some point are these bosses that are impossible now just be like, dude, like don't even bother, you know, it's like
all of a sudden like once you get to that point, like, hey, nothing's as strong as me, all of a sudden something happens, like some special event that they don't tell us about happens in game and this thing just like pops out of nowhere while you're flying and just like smacks you around.
Just
yep.
like literally like one of those cartoon things, like the last one. You gonna fly out across the map.
Yeah.
There will be no pets in Anthem, unfortunately, or at least not at launch.
There's a lot of these answers that feel like not at launch. So it's going to be, I guess it'll be either the community reacts and asks for it, or it's just like, well, listen, you're going to have this epic game.
Didn't plan on it at first, but they've got a lot of people who's kind of asked for it or asked about it. So it's like kind of side thoughts that they may add in later.
Yeah,
this is one thing I'm kind of curious about. It's just like, as far as having the pets in Anthem, like what they said, specifically not at launch, so like what role could these pets have? Would it just be something cosmetic? Would it be something like to help maybe like buff or debuff an enemy, maybe like say you have some type of dog that like bites down at a target and holds it down for you or something? Like what would you like to see pet wise in the game?
I think I'm with you. Fantasies are pets, like give me, like I like that,
give me something that gives me options to help me,
because the pets are cool, like if it's just like, okay, it's a cosmetic thing that runs around and it's a collectible. But I like the mag system. I like it that it's like, okay, I'm going to invest in this, you know, pet, and then it's going to, and then I can kind of grow it and develop it.
I want to see a mini javelin that controls itself that you can add like small mini guns to and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, this is just me and my
like
imagination.
The dog.
Give me a mini Colossus to follow me around. Mini Colossus.
mini call. Mini C.
Bring an MC.
that'll be neat to see. Like, it's gonna be cool to see where this game launches and then where it goes, especially
where it goes
like,
as time goes on.
Yeah. Patch notes.
Exactly. Patch note YouTube videos. HUD elements will not have customization, so your reticle, your health bar, your damage check, etc.
At launch.
Not at launch.
Not at launch.
This is again.
Not at launch is literally the please look forward to it at Yoshi P for Final.
Yeah, exactly.
This part surprised me. You feel like something like that would usually be enabled at launch, but I'll deal with it. I mean, the UE serves its purpose. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to harp on
They're
that.
They're giving us visual customization for our gear, so it's kind of like, I think that's neat. And they could go a lot of different ways with it, right? Like you could see where I can kind of just customize my HUD and da-da-da-da.
Like, I would like to just see like color options for the HUD, because there's some games I just do not like the color of the HUD, so please let me change it.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of yellow personally, but teach their own.
an example of this is Elite Dangerous. It's a space game that I play on PC. Also played on Xbox, it's on there as well. The base color for the HUD is this orange color, and I do not like it. But on PC, you can't customize it yourself, but if you know how to do the little coding thing, you can go in and alter little numbers here and there and change the color of the HUD.
Okay.
So that'd be kind of cool if like it was an option like actually in game, like just give me a different color. Like if I really do not like this color, give me like other color options. That's all I ask.
Yeah.
The flare, as we saw in the gameplay demo at E3, is initiated by an emote. But we may have to unlock it first. So,
unlockable emotes, somewhat unlockable teased. Emotes, I guess not confirmed, but teased.
Teased.
Yeah. That's good. Again, more things to collect. Yeah.
Yeah, give me lots of things to collect. There is specific support for colorblindness within the settings, so that is a really cool thing they added in for those that need it.
I like to see more games like adopting this feature into their mechanics and just like allowing more people to experience the game as it was meant to be played.
Yeah, if you guys haven't seen like Mega Man 11, one of the complaints were like, Mega Man takes on some of the physical characteristics of the boss now with the weapons. And the people like the classic where he just has a color scheme. And I was sitting here, I look at it and I go, no, that's actually brilliant, especially from a colorblind perspective. Mm-hmm. Now, your colors change, but if you can't tell what colors you are, then you have there's a physicality to it. Same thing with a mechanicality. Like, you don't have to rely that it's like, oh, if it's green, run in. If it's light green, don't run in. Oh, God, what color is that?
Oh, man. That
oh, my goodness. True. Yeah.
Michael Gamble gave us a glimpse at his customized Storm within the Forge. I don't know, Brian, if there's any way you could pull that picture up.
If I feel like it, I'll edit it into the end of the podcast.
Okay,
on
cool,
YouTube.
Cool deal.
Here's
cool
the
deal.
Image.
Cool beans, yeah.
Brian.
Brian the man Brian.
Yeah.
Consumables are crafted with it. What these consumables will do for us is still yet to be known.
And that only makes me think of, is there a player economy? This is a multiplayer game with a single player hub. Is there a economy that is
that'd be
going to play? And I would love it if there is.
With consumables and crafting, I mean, that's got one step up on Destiny, because Destiny doesn't have anything like that. So
remember from what we discussed in the last podcast, there is no trading system. So how could we be in a economy if we can't trade anything between players?
Right. And that's that. And
they
that
may change that later. We may see a change.
Hopefully.
I like player economies in that regard. Same. But, you know, it's like, it doesn't have to be that. It's like, yeah, you just put something up for sale and then you get whatever the currency is to do different things. Like, oh, I don't need this. Maybe somebody else does. I don't know. Anyway, it'll be neat.
The whole thing is I really like trading. Like, even if there's not necessarily an economy per se, I do like trading systems in the game. That's one downside I don't like about Destiny. Because, again, like, if I get a weapon that I already have a version of, and let's say Brian, who we're playing together, he's been after that weapon for a while. Here, man, you can have it. I mean, I would love that to be an option.
Yeah.
Like, maybe not necessarily like rent. Like, let's say, you know, you got somebody that hasn't played with you at all. You want to give them a gun. You may not have that option. But if, like, we're in the same instance together fighting the same thing and I get the drop and you want it, I can give it to you there. Make it like you have to have fought the same thing I fought to get it.
It just seems that the fact that consumables are crafted, that means there is some form of crafting. What does that imply to the overall, you know, game structure? And it's not an easy solution. It's just something that I personally
Here's something. You remember when we were discussing the different types of javelins and the rangers able to have like customized grenades? Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a form of the crafting they're talking about.
That's
like
cross
grenades. Might be one of the things.
Yeah.
Speaking of the grenades, I think there was something
in the
stream about we saw like acid.
Yeah. Definitely in that. I broke it up by the various different what we learned from that. But yeah, we'll cover that preview coming soon. Acid grenades.
Acid grenade. Again, there is not a setting to switch between first person and third person. While you're in your javelin in the world, you are in third person. Mm-hmm. While in Fort Tarsus, you will be in first person. So, I mean, it is what it is.
Well, that doesn't personally bother me. I think that you are the character that you're playing, et cetera, kind of immersive, et cetera.
I mean, it comes back to the, are we alone in Fort Tarsus? If that's the case, then if there's an option to customize the way your character looks, then what's the point?
I'd just say there's no mirrors. If you can't customize it, then in Fort Tarsus, there are no mirrors.
There's no mirrors.
The Shapers have not invented the technology to reflect.
Shaper technology did not make reflective material.
Personally, I do like the fact that like Anthem is in third person.
No water either.
Because like throwing myself out there, I get a little bit dizzy when I play Destiny 2 for some reason, or some FPSs in general. Like Overwatch is like the only FPS I don't get dizzy in. I don't know why, but having this in third person is really going to allow me to like sink more into it. So
we'll see. Yeah.
I don't really have no personal preference over like first person or third person. I can play all of them. There's some people who literally cannot do third person games. I have a buddy I played with a while. Like, we played a lot of games together, and then I tried to get him to play Gears of War, and he just couldn't do it. Like, he could not get into Gears of War because of the third person view.
It could also be the mechanics, but yeah. Welcome to our Gears of War podcast. Yeah.
Yes. there will be aesthetic skins for our javelins that allow us to showcase a worn and torn look to our javelins.
Ooh.
I'm actually kind of excited about that. Yeah. That sounds awesome to me.
like missing armor plates and like wiring,
Jesse,
it's just all
like
kind of
broken
sparkling.
Things. Yeah, that like that would be so awesome. I'm excited for that. So apparently there is a max level. At max level, you will not have all the perks available within the game, so you would have to pick and choose what you want.
Yeah, and it'll be neat to see how the meta kind of evolves around it. It's my hope is that they kind of go with the rock, paper, scissors approach with these perks, that every perk has a strength, every perk has a weakness kind of concept. So it's
We'll see. We'll see.
I'm wondering
kinda
as far like, as
No, go ahead, Chemistral. 1 second. Like, what was your thought, Chemistral?
I was thinking, like, what about, you know, say you mess up your build. What if you need to do a reset? Like, is that going to be something you buy extra in the cash shop or just make a new character in your accounts?
I hope not in the cash shop. I just feel like there's going to be a shoe that might drop when it comes to the monetization of the game. Because they said the story DLC is free. They said, like, they're not having loot boxes. You know, and I'm like, wow.
If they're going to monetize it somehow, it's just like, we know cosmetics are definitely going to be in the shop. And you don't, not every person needs a reset token, but that's something a lot of games tend to do for things that, like, you're not allowed to max out everything.
Since it kind of sounds very similar, they could do it like Borderlands done it. Like, you have money in-game. Like, I'm wondering, I'm kind of curious, like, is there shops, like, NPC shops, like, you can buy gear and stuff from for yourself? If that's the case and you have, like, a currency that you earn in-game, then there might be an option to use that to do resets.
That would be nice.
We know there's, like, a forge, I believe, for kind of, like, that. And so I'm
sure
wondering how that all works.
Some kind of thing to it to respec, I'm
so
sure.
Maybe that's something we should ask them in the next AMA. Like, okay, talk to us about any kind of economy and are there shops to buy gear and stuff like that.
I definitely want to get it, like, take part in the AMA if I can get a hold of one. If I'm ever awake or if I'm, you know, around. Yeah. That kind of thing, because my shift is terrible. The gates showcased within the Arcanist mission is specific to that mission and cannot be disabled.
So what he's talking about is that as they were flying through, they had these little things that they kind of had to kind of, like, you know, go through as they were progressing through the mission. I believe that's how I interpreted that when they were talking about the gates in that mission, that they were like, okay, here's how you pass through. It was kind of like a way marker, and how that kind of played out. So it was a really, really cool mission to see how that all kind of came together. I cannot wait to go hands-on with it.
It reminds me of the flight gates in the Iron. Did that extend your flight time? I wasn't able to tell by the meter.
I didn't see that, but they did, and we all talk about from the watering and the hovering stuff. I didn't see that it extended flight time, but there was, like, if you fly near water, that it was cooling your jets. Not, like, flying into it or through a waterfall or something like that, but it was like, all right, cool, cool. Don't know if we lost Nightmare. that's the only downside of him not being on camera, because I can't be like, is he still there? His logo is always looking and peering into my soul.
Okay, I just had to go grab a little bit.
You're good.
Michael made a statement that everyone should expect there to be some bugs within the builds shown on live stream. He stated they wanted to be transparent as possible, showcasing early. Sometimes older builds, unfinished content that usually gets polished within the marketing trailer.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. I think he's just kind of covering his bases, though, for anybody who's like, they're, you know. Well,
why
I mean,
is
look
it like
at the, again, you look at Puddlegate, you look at these things, it's like, hey, development, things change, da 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 da. You know, it's like, you know, we're going to, you know, their Lord, you know, knows we'll have bugs when the game launches. The idea is that they have very small amount.
I love the fact that they're being super transparent.
Exactly.
I'm really enjoying that about this. So
it's refreshing.
I'm okay with there being bugs. Like, we know, like, he knows there's going to be bugs. So it's like, it's not like he's trying to hide that. Hey, these are, we know they're there. We're working on them, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Emily Taylor, a game designer for EA. Showcased a moment in Anthem showcasing the graphics that are not even maxed out. So it's kind of a interesting little tidbit. It looked kind of good. I mean, it looked really good, even if it wasn't maxed out.
Yeah.
Anthem game Twitter also answered some AMA questions. Lots of
AMA.
Yeah, exactly. Again, there will be post-launch support for potential DLC javelins. Wait, I missed that apparently.
So,
you can customize individual armor pieces of your javelin and will include some crossover cosmetics. As an example would be the M7 Mass Effect. Ooh, that's exciting. The M7 Mass Effect Ranger armor. That'd be cool.
Yes.
DLC javelins. Yeah, apparently I missed that tidbit.
And I'm assuming this is also including like brand new javelins, not just like existing skins to pre-existing javelins.
I'm betting it's all of the above.
I'm kind of curious. That's what I think. It's because they said DLC javelins. So yeah.
Well, I'm betting we'll see new, but skins and like, you know, it's going to be, it'll be a curiosity to see how much the cash shop versus what you can get in game and how that's divided, right? Because if it's that, oh, full customization is in the cash shop and then you can get weapons and stuff like that. Like, what does that balance look like? And the fact is, now, especially like what we talked about, like when they, last week, when they're talking about Iron Man, the fact that EA has a relationship with Disney, that there's a, you know, like they could see that as future DLC. Like that seems like interesting. Like, yeah, it's going to be like, what kind of cool mechs from mech games, you know, that are popular, make their way, like Gundam. Like,
it's like, if we get Gundam in this,
man, awesome. Gundam would be amazing.
But I'm just saying, like, you know, that in and of itself, I wouldn't feel bad if it was DLC, you know, like purchased. You know, it's like, okay, cool, like, whatever. Like, it's not breaking the game; it's just being fun and going nuts. But then it's like, okay, there's no way to unlock this stuff in the real game. Then be like, all right. Drink some water 'cause my voice.
You're losing your voice, man. Yeah. Anthem Game Twitter also, Anthem Game teased that capabilities to provide support to other javelins, such as buffs / healing, could be within various gear components. So,
thank you. Yes.
Thank you.
For one thing I want.
Absolutely.
That is awesome.
Absolutely. And that's what we kind of were even talking about, like, and asking the question, like, okay, like, what is that? And that can end up being interesting because how can our builds be set up so that, hey, guys, I'm running Colossus, but I'm going to be running a healing Colossus, or I'm going to be running,
that would
know,
be kind like, of interesting.
Like
that.
Like, you know, like, based off your gear, like, can I save these gear sets to then have that kind of build? And I believe they've talked about gear sets and something like that before, so, but they haven't really showed that off. Like, oh, here's my build for one ranger, here's my build for another ranger, or if it's that you just save your build for each of the, you know, your javelins.
Speaking of the gear, I don't know if we have it in our notes, but they was talking about the third gear slot that there is, and it will be solely a support gear slot.
Ooh, okay.
You can't put nothing else there. So like the curious question is, okay, that is a support slot, but if I want to go full support, can I equip all three pieces of my gear for support capabilities?
Right.
That'd be one that'd be kind of curious question for later for them. Again, for customization, you'll choose your javelin first, then we'll be able to customize our gear and equipment. And each javelin is able to revive another javelin, but each will apparently have their own unique support capabilities.
Okay.
So that's kind of interesting.
Very. Like, we know the Colossus is going to be the best as far as, like, going in behind enemy lines to bring out, like, say, an interceptor that got caught out of place. I'm curious as, like, what Storm does if Storm revives someone, or what the Interceptor can do.
Well, yeah, the Interceptor has got that kind of de facto tank build, but not, and they said they already did confirm that really anybody could quote unquote tank, but people, different javelins are just going to excel differently at it. And so that's just really good. Thanks, Nightmare, for breaking down the news. The one thing, I guess the last
one last thing we got is we have new intel coming in today during the live stream with Michael and Ben.
So we had that, we were talking about, we should probably ask some of these questions. So if you guys are curious, just make sure you tweet out Michael, Ben, BioWare. You can use the tag, hashtag AMAAAA. So there's four A's. So we were speculating, ask me anything about Anthem. All right.
That was my thing. I don't know what the last A is for.
So anyway, AMAAAA, you can use that hashtag in that way. And maybe, and they are really good at responding. They've been doing this every week.
Respond to just about everything. It's crazy.
So, all right, Chemistral, Paris Game Week impressions. We got it broken up based off of what we kind of gleaned from the different javelins. And then also thanks to everybody over on Reddit, because a lot of this information is just pulled by the community. So we watched it. We got our thoughts. I'm excited. But I wanted to kind of break up the thoughts as it relates to the four javelins that we know about. If you're not aware of the four javelins, you have Ranger, Colossus, Storm, and Interceptor. Chemistral, this is I have this as your segment. Why don't you take the lead and guide us through this information?
Sure thing. So the new news that we have for the Interceptor and Javelin and the Interceptor Javelin and the Storm Javelin is very appreciating to hear, because we pretty much knew almost next to nothing about them, other than the Interceptor being fast and the Storm being magical. We did get to see the Interceptors use some kind of an acid strike, and this also implies that there will be acid grenades. So we knew from different elements we have fire, frost, and electricity, but we now have acid as a potential another element. Maybe you can see some acid elements for the support, or not the support, the storm, which would be very nice with, like, say, degrade enemies' attack power or whatnot.
Yeah, exactly.
It also showed the Interceptor's ultimate, which I don't know how to best describe it, other words than just unleashing their dual blades and just going crazy. And they actually gained a lot of defensive power while doing this. You don't have to worry about just, oh, I'm going to pop my ult, but I'm going to die within 2 seconds of using it. You will be tanking up to survive your Super Saiyan mode, so to speak. I'm not sure what we have called for that yet.
Is the Interceptor, then, a melee javelin? Are they?
That's what it seems to be implying. Like, we know that
it definitely seems that way.
Yeah, the Colossus can use flamethrowers if we're up close, but like Interceptor seems to be your melee speedster.
Yeah.
So like, you want someone to go like here. If you love assassin type gameplay, I think
shotguns
you'll enjoy
Interceptor. Blades. That's just like what I'm getting off of this. It's like,
and,
you know. Like,
yeah, okay. And hopefully maybe sniper rifles to balance out so they can have some.
Yeah, I think they already said that Interceptor will be able to use sniper rifles.
Okay, that'll be good. That would be okay. So you could be far, rush in, shotgun, you know, blade it out and then get back. That actually then when you look at how it's all balanced with Ranger Colossus and what we saw from Storm, it's like that seems to be kind of a nice, well-rounded thing. For me, yeah. It's not. I'm not going to sit here and say like, yeah, I'm excited about the Interceptor. I haven't been ever.
I think the only like weapon restrictions that we know of is that the Colossus will be the only one that can use like the heavy weapons.
Yeah, the miniguns and stuff.
It can't use like pistols, but everything else can use everything except the heavy weapons. So, okay. Like, you can be a ranger with a sniper, you can be a storm with a sniper, shotguns, etc. Nice. You just Colossus is the only one that's got like the weird restrictions. Like, he can use heavy guns but can't use pistols.
Yeah,
yeah. Because I was like, I wanted to say which the Interceptor, I mean, which Javelin I'd be playing, but I didn't know anything about pretty much the Storm or the Interceptor. Like, you guys had it picked out. You like magic, so you're going with the Storm.
Yeah.
Nightmare, you like heavy tank, so you're going with the Colossus.
Give me the big man.
Oh, yeah. I'm not much of a sniper, just because I have terrible aim, but I do love melee, and if depending on how the Interceptor's support capabilities could be, this may be the one I choose, just for the fact that it's speedy as all heck can be.
Yeah.
On a side note, the ultimate, I guess one way I could describe it is if anybody's ever played Warframe, there's one of the Warframes on there called Ash, and it has an ability very similar to this.
Yeah.
And what it does, technically it's ultimate. And what it does is it just basically jumps from enemy to enemy doing massive melee damage to them. Pretty much sounds the same way with this.
Okay. Excellent. Cool.
And so that wraps up the Interceptor, but next we have the Storm. This is yours, Brian, and this one we got to see a lot of. Or we saw them use different elements, fire, ice, and lightning, as well as using the ultimate for each of them, which looks devastating. It looked impressive on the alpha gameplay that we saw with those little graphics. So imagine what that is going to look like polished.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
That has me excited. We're looking at an alpha build, Storm build. And it just looked good. The hovering aspect. So they said that like you're actually strongest when you're hovering. So we were talking about that last. Yeah. So we were talking about that last time, especially as it relates to Storm. And it's like, well, when you're hovering, you're not using your jets. They're not cooling, but like as you hover, you actually have a shield. So you're actually stronger when hovering because if you go land on the ground, you're not going to have that shield. And the Storm is a glass cannon, so you can go down real quick. So the Storm, while it can revive, it is very risky because it looked like you had to be down on the ground to be able to pick up your teammates back up. And so that was
kind of a
cool.
Curious thing to see.
Yeah, and since you can really hover forever. So I was like, this is going to be really cool and see how that kind of plays out with how this javelin works. And it's like based off of that, like it was saying that, you know, we can hover, but that it kind of, this is due apparently from their lore reason to the seals on their arms. So they kind of showed off like the javelin's arms. I don't know, I'm pointing at my arm like off camera. It's like, can't even see it. And it's like, yeah, like, you know, like that would be a cool tattoo. I'm not a tattoo guy, but that would be a cool like tattoo. Like have the javelin kind of like, you know, kind of design on your arms, et cetera, like that. Cause that looks cool. I have it as one of my backgrounds that rotates now for the Storm. It's kind of sweet.
That's awesome.
That'd be great. I bet it changes visually, like depending upon what elements you have attuned for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was also wondering, like, what's the point of hovering? Because think about it, you're a squishy target, you're hovering high,
yeah,
and
you're going
to target the pick. So I'm really glad to see they gave him the shield for like some extra survivability.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just like, oh, hey, sniper, free game.
Yeah, it's like, keep hovering, buddy. Just keep, we're going to keep dropping.
Here's a curious question also with the hover. I don't think they've said it, but if you can, if you're like, you have a shield while you're hovering, is there another reason to hover? Like, does it increase your abilities?
I think that's kind of how it's supposed to be kind of played out, because you're supposed to be raining in like damage and stuff like that. The kind of the balance is that people can see you, you know, because it's like, obviously mm-hmm. there's a storm right there, you know, boom. But you have that shield. So it's like, it was that when you were down on the ground, like you were just weak sauce. And then when you're hovering, that's where you're strongest. But that's going to be an interesting, see how that plays out, because you're right. Cause it's like, you have your target and he's not really moving. He's just standing still. Cause he's, go ahead.
Nope, you finished.
No, that was that. The end.
Oh. The end.
The end.
I was wondering, since we were discussing how, like, again, this is a PvE-only game, we can see some really potentially crazy things here, like Diablo. So I'm wondering if maybe, like, there will be an ultimate armor ability that you can equip to your javelin that makes it so maybe you can share, like, a portion of your shield with your other teammates that are in a certain radius of you.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of interesting.
That'd be kind of cool. That'd be kind of cool.
I agree. All right. What did we learn about the Colossus?
The Colossus, it's ultimate. We get to see it again, the Siege Cannon, and we get 3 shots with it, but you have to time it fairly quickly because it is time-based, so you can't just hold on to them, unleash one, and use it later on.
I'm going to blow everything up. I'm just saying. This is what's going to happen all the time. I'm just going to rain death.
Just rain it down.
I'm going to build him to just like run in the middle and just artillery everything.
Before I even get there and intercept, you'll just already have killed it from a range.
Exactly. I'm just going to nuke everything.
Just nuke it all down.
Give me that option.
Let's
I love the fact
give
that
me
you
a weapon that gives me a new cloud. That
let's re- just restart this. Let's redo this. Let's go.
And I love the fact that you can actually just use your shield charge while in flight, just burst down from above, just Captain America, boom, land on the ground and start annihilating everything.
That was so awesome. In the, like, I saw that I was like, ooh. I like it a lot.
It's like Doomfist just meteor strike.
Exactly. Just, dude, that looks so awesome.
So system-wise, like, so that's kind of wraps up what we learned. We didn't really see or learn much about, like, the Ranger, except that, you know, that, like, acid type can be a grenade type that they might be able to use as well as the Interceptor. But so system-wise, there are some updates. Chemistry, why don't you break that down for us?
Yep. We already kind of alluded to this a little bit earlier about being able to cool your jets by hovering close to water.
Cool those jets.
Cool,
cool man. Cool man.
Go your jets, man.
But I do like how it's not instant. You actually like have to stay near that water for a bit to kind of cool it down over time. So it's not like some magical thingy. It has some kind of realistic properties to it, as realistic as a video game can be, I suppose. But it's nice. It kind of adds to the thematic element of the world. It also seems that the cooldown icon on the top right stays up for a bit longer now, 25 seconds compared to the 5 seconds it was up for the Colossus in the first gameplay demo. Mm-hmm. So whether it's javelin-based, gear-based, or buffed, that could all change. We have to see more to see how that's done. There are emotes, of course, in the game that seems to be tied to the D-pad, but however, your D-pad also seems to be tied to your ultimate ability. This leads me to believe that perhaps maybe in combat you can't do emotes. Hopefully, though, that can be remedied.
Macro that. I'm doing my ultimate ability and dancing. You know, like even.
Oh, yeah.
You're
not a dancer in a boss battle. Team wipe, you're just dancing.
While you're doing the ultimate, you got to do the floss. Got to do the floss.
So the emote wheel, like, D-pad. Ultimate is also the D-pad. So it's just like, okay, so it sounds like, you know, like, okay, it's cool. But it seems like we've now confirmed what the D-pad is going to be used for, thus leaving probably Y to switch out weapons, X, like your standard kind of, you know, shooter fare from an Xbox perspective. Yeah.
And like I said, I think I said this before the show, but I'm pretty sure, like, probably like other games, like, you can go in and change your keybinds. So, like, if you have one of the Elite controllers for Xbox that has the extra buttons, you can probably take your ultimate off of the D-pad and, like, add it to one of those other buttons. You can probably change out your layout. I'm pretty sure. We'll see.
It helps us all of us to map our own keybinds. This would be lovely. I know for PC it's going to be an obvious guess, but for consoles, hopefully that's the case. It would be awesome times you just see like a lot of different control scenes, but you can't personally set the buttons themselves.
Right.
But we'll see that as it comes further along. We also got a good look at the Elite Scar Enforcer, showcasing a shield and a flamethrower.
Yeah.
That apparently shooting bullets at the shield does no damage to the shield itself.
Yeah, it kind of made me think when I saw that immediately into like Destiny 2 with the Cabal, with the shields, etc. Like you kind of have to, they'll put down the shield, you kind of have to go around, try to get around and get on their flanks, etc.
Yeah, because so they don't do no damage to them.
So we're seeing more of the, you know, elites, the Scars being kind of this invading, not invading force, but You know, they say, and not necessarily alien. So from a lore perspective, we're going to learn more about their origins and things like that. So it's going to be interesting to see. They are invading. It's assumed, or it's, you shouldn't assume that they are alien as far as it goes for the lore. There's a lot of lore that I know we were like, I was like, oh yeah, we'll do episode 3 and we'll talk about some of the lore with the Shapers. But with the Paris Games Week, with the gameplay stuff, I really want to kind of just dive into that specifically, because I think that's exciting.
We got time, Brian. We got time.
Well, I just, you know, maybe like some teases, because like you guys have time, but it's like today is just already just like crazy busy for us. So, in last episode, I was trying to think of the other, one of the other factions, because we like the quest that they were showing off at Paris Games Week was dealing with the Arcanist faction. We're part of the Freelancers. But the opposition to the Freelancers is the Dominion. And that's the name of them. We couldn't figure it out. But from the goal of the Dominion, it seems like, as the goal of the Freelancers is to achieve like prosperity and peace and stuff like that. But theirs is through like might and using the Shaper technology to develop that. So one of the cool things from a lore piece, from that story-wise piece, and the little hints that we're getting, I go and start to speculate. I'm going to bring up my notes while I do this, because it's like there's like I've been making a lot of little hints. Since there is a little bit of time that we have available for this. Because I was like, I didn't know. Like when I was looking at the outline, I'm like, well, you know, we try to keep this show no longer than an hour, and I didn't want to be like, and it's 2.5 hours later, and it's like, we're still covering the news.
And this is just the intro.
And now it's time to get to the podcast. oh my gosh, like what is this? But so it's like so the Shapers, they were going to form and create the world pretty much like in 9 days, and so I sit here and go, wow, like okay, well, is there any significance behind that concept of 9 days? Because like from a Judeo-Christian perspective, the world, the earth, the universe was formed in 7 days. So like, what is 9 days? And so there's very different pieces of significance in the number 9. And Christian significance, it's the hour, it's considered an hour of prayer. And so then we like, if you look at like Acts chapter 3, verses 1, now Peter and John were going through the temple in the hour of prayer in the ninth hour. Cornelius said, 4 days ago in this hour, I'm keeping the ninth hour of prayer in my house. And that's from Acts chapter 10. And Jesus died during the ninth hour hanging on the cross. So from a Catholicism perspective, the novena is the act of saying prayers for 9 consecutive days. And prayers of the novena are usually an urgency and a specific cost. I'm just looking at this from a Christian perspective. Hebrews, for the Israelites, it's 9 is a symbol of truth. In Hinduism, 9 is the number of Brahma, the creator. In China, 9, the ninth day in the Chinese New Year is the birthday of the Jade Empire, and the Jade Emperor is the supreme god worshipped by the Taoists. And then in Japan, actually number 9 can be considered unlucky when the number 9 is pronounced. It sounds like the word pain. I was like, I'm obviously threading, you know, different crazy threads here. So just about kind of the numbers and stuff. And so, so the Shapers were... original plan was to create the world in 9 days, but after 3 days, they mysteriously packed up, vanished, stopped their work, something along those lines. So the question, and hopefully that the story we'll get to go and explore, is what is happening? You know, why did that happen? What's the significance of, you know, 3? What's the significance of their disappearance? Are they still out and about? Are they gods? You know, are they gods or a god or kind of race, or were they shaping and terraforming the world in and of itself? And so, and then I look at it, you know, like from, again, like I look at it from a Christian perspective, like deism is the concept that God exists, but he's just not involved at all. And so it's like, are they watching what happens? Is this some kind of giant social experiment for their version of YouTube? where it's like, they're literally just like, okay, guys, all right, we're gonna, And then how do we know that their plan was to do 9 days? Like, you know, there's so much.
There's so much unanswered, man.
I just was like, I was kind of exploring the significance of numbers, because sometimes it's really cool to see when people build worlds. This is very true in Final Fantasy, where you look at various different influences from world religions and various different cultures growing up and how they might impact. And so I kind of was like, well, let me explore this concept from just what we know with the numbers. And see, and who knows what any of this will end up playing out into. Who knows how this will bleed into the game and if it has any significance to any world religions whatsoever. But it seems that it's inherent that, you know, I would think that there would be some form of religion that is developed around these concepts. And that in and of itself is going to, I think, provide the best kind of conflict in this game, especially when you look at the different factions and how they perceive the world and how they believe the world to function. And it's that belief that roots people into their action. You know, it's like, because, you know, when you look at science, you can compare facts. You can say, we tested this and these are the results. But when you bring in belief and culture and history, that's what motivates people, you know. And it's harder to change that regardless of whether you show them like evidence, like, no, you're hurting the world. It's like, I believe that, you know, I am not.
It's the ideology and the faith behind their actions.
Faith is a strong force. I mean, it really is.
Oh, it is. It's super powerful. That's why, like, for me, I like individually, like I'm a Catholic and I look at this and it's like, cool. Like, what is that? You know, how does that play in? You know, the first thing that obviously stood out was that they were set to make the world in 9 days. And I'm like, well, the creation story of that God created the world in 7 days. I believe that personally to be, it's not essentially a literal 7 days, but same thing kind of goes with nine. Like, it's like, did they work on this world for literal 3 days time? Or is that more significant, mythos, grand speak, that it's like, what would, you know, what is 3 days to a shaper? What is 3 days to, you know, to this system as opposed to ours as well? So I'm already just like looking for every little bit and piece and things like that. And it will be neat to see if any of this kind of, you know, plays out and what maybe relates to the real world, our world. Because obviously people in our world are writing the story.
it's going to definitely be interesting to see, because the lore does look really good. Surprise or spoiler, this is one of the worlds post the ending of Mass Effect 3. I'm calling it now.
Oh yeah,
they connected it to Mass Effect. This is a world after the aftermath of Mass Effect 3.
Okay, cool. It could be.
Could be. It was made by BioWare. Just saying.
All right, guys. Let's jump into final thoughts. So we've got, this is our episode 3. This is kind of getting more, we're getting our, you know, gears, you know, working. We're getting the machine oiled. And I think hopefully we're getting better at this.
Hopefully.
So
y'all have a step up on me. So hopefully I'm getting better. It's my whole thing.
Yeah. One day he'll get a webcam and then you'll see his face.
We'll get you some flipbook animations to use until then.
I gotta find
something for it. So let's talk to you, Chemist Roll. What you got? Any final thoughts? Like, coming off of Paris Games Week, what are you looking forward to the most?
I will say I'm looking forward to how like a casual day playing Anthem will look.
Yeah.
So like, now we have like, you know, our campaign with the lore and everything that I'm looking forward to, but what about those times you like feel like I don't really feel like going through the story? And maybe, you know, you don't have some friends on, but you want to play the game. Yeah. What would that gameplay look like for that day? Or one thing that I want to really see too is they keep talking and hinting about these different types of supports, not necessarily healing, but just different supportive abilities. Mm-hmm. What are these supportive abilities? I want to see more into that, because as a healer in other games and coming to a game where healing isn't really a thing, I'm trying to find my niche and my role in this world, so to speak. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what that is.
Excellent. Nightmare.
What I'm really hoping for is I'm hoping to see something kind of like similar to what Final Fantasy 14 has, like on a weekly basis. So you've got like weekly objectives you can go do or partake in.
Yeah.
Like some kind of modified, like one of the strongholds, maybe kind of like a Nightfall in Destiny is, have like a weekly thing you can go queue up for and go do, and give you an objective weekly to accomplish, to get like gear or what have you. Give you something to do on a weekly basis, something to look forward to after a reset.
And I think for me, I'm really just looking forward to seeing more and more of the game. And then ideally I'm hoping that we'll at some point soon hear about, we know we have something coming February 1st, but hopefully they're going to keep revealing it. But I think my curiosity comes more into kind of the player economy, what that kind of gear grind, what that loop like it looks like. So it seems like we're all thinking and looking forward to whatever this loop might end up being in the long run, as it plays out. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. All right, guys, for Work to Game for the Anthem Free Radio podcast, my name is Brian. This is Chemistrel in one of these corners. There we go. Nightmare down there in the corner. Let's go ahead and put up our, I have a new screen. This is great. So with that, you can find us at any of the following Twitter accounts. You can find us Work to Game specifically on Work to Game videos and at anthemfreeradio at gmail.com. For Nightmare, be sure and Chemistrel for their YouTube channels. We will include the links in the description below of these videos over on YouTube. Go check out their channels, give them feedback, let them know what you think about the content that they like to create over there on YouTube. And the Nightmare also streams over here on Twitch as well under Nightmare_Demon_Gaming. And he does a variety of 14, etc. Chemistrel makes a variety of funny and always makes me laugh with his videos as well. But guys, I've plugged you. Go ahead. Is there anything you want to plug? Is there any project or anything that you're working on right now?
I'm working on my first League Machinima video/guide, but that probably won't be out for a couple weeks until now. Until then, who knows what I'll upload in the meantime, so you have to stay tuned to find out.
Yeah, I'm currently, I was on the wrong screen, hit the wrong button. I'm currently working on some videos and ideas, maybe a guide or two, but we'll see what I decide to come up with. I'm still getting the hang of that part, so we'll see. Stay tuned.
Guys, thank you so much for watching, whether you're here with us on Twitch or you're watching this on YouTube or listening to us on Google Play and at some point, hopefully, on on iTunes. For wherever podcast streaming services are found, we're on SoundCloud. That's where it's hosted right now. And so we'll be getting that. Let's see, with that, I wish you all a fantastic week. We'll be back either next week or in about 2 weeks, depending on what news and information comes out from today and then any other AMAs as well, because we want to try to keep on top of that at the same time, respecting everybody's work schedules and times and things of that nature. So we'll see you guys when we see you. Take care.
See you
later.
Oh, excuse me. What's up, workforce? Chuck here, telling you, you should totally like, favorite, subscribe, share, dance, raise your hands in the air. I'm off camera, I'm off frame, I'm new at this. Hey, listen, you, yes, you haven't hit that subscribe button, you totally should. I recommend it. Chuck approved. Anyway, also, thanks to all the Patreons, you're in the corners, whoa!